Accession number 27785, Mr. John Gant, Real Fire. Now, we've just talked, and just to put a couple of things right, HMS Dinosaur is the name for...
covered more than one place.
It was a sort of overarching name for this combined operation.
That's right, yeah.
And
yeah.
For you, it was, you had several weeks at Troon,
yeah.
And then you went to Edinburgh.
Edinburgh, yeah.
And that's all taking place in what's in here, says from July 42 to August 43.
Yeah.
Although that doesn't include time for transport, so it may have been earlier than August. Now, anything else about Troon before you go to Edinburgh?
Nothing that I can remember. The things that stood out in my mind was the body lice, the dispute with the PT instructor. That's about all I can remember.
Now, what happened when you went up to Edinburgh?
Then we went to a small barracks.
You remember the name?
Yeah. In Brunswick Road.
So Brunswick Road Barracks?
Yeah. Yeah. And it was only a small... it was, at one time, a workhouse. And it had two floors, and I suppose there was 200 or 300 of us there.
And what were you doing there?
Ferrying landing craft from... delivered us to... Granton, that's a little dock, and from there we to up the
which direction?
In that was up the
Firth of Forth, the Ross Island.
Firth of Forth.
To Ross Island.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Then we used to get into the little canal started there, Forth and Clyde Canal. I can't remember the...
Doesn't matter.
Where it starts. It used to be... there's a big oil farmery now, but it wasn't then. That was just a little basin... where you could tie up before you went into the canal.
And then where'd you go from there? Through the canal to...
Through the canal to the...
The Glasgow?
Glasgow. Or Greenock. And the Clyde. Maryhill, I think. Maryhill, you come into the Clyde.
And you were doing this with more than one, you're backwards and forwards.
Yeah, just when we were stationed in the barracks, and then when we needed, we were sent for to take these landing craft through the Forth and Clyde Canal and delivered to Greenock, and then that was taken from there by somebody else to where they were needed.
And anything about this period, or was it just routine for you?
You had to go up. It was not just going from A to B, it was going from lock to lock. And you went up, if I remember, 16 locks, and then down 17 locks into Maryhill.
It's quite a lot of work.
Yeah, because we used to have to jump off the landing craft and open the or fill the lock if it was empty, or if it was full, you had to empty it. So it was interesting. Lock keepers, get to know the lock keepers, because I have a little cottage by the lock, and we got to know quite a few of them. We used we'd go up to where the canal started, and then we were billeted in the town. We used to have to go to the police station to get names and addresses wherever they would put us up in digs. And we just had to go ashore and have a few beers and go back to digs, and then be down by 8 o'clock in the morning, down to man the landing craft and take them up the canal. And the first day we went through a few towns on our way to the eventual destination, and at midday or thereabouts we used to stop at Singer's sewing machine factory, and we used to tie up there and leave the landing craft and go into Singer's sewing machine canteen. It was a vast place full of women, which was a laugh. Have our dinner and then carry on down to Greenock, mostly Greenock. I can't think of anything other places we went to. And then we used to go back by train to Edinburgh, and so on and so on, as it went on.
Anything happen in particular, or was it just routine for a while?
Well, it used to be, as I say, we used to have a laugh and a joke at Singer's factory.
So how long were you doing this for then?
Must be 8 or 9 months, I would say. Then we were drafted then down to Calshot on the south coast.
Calshot?
Calshot.
Cow.
Cow, I think. Calshott. I think that's how that's spelled.
And what were you doing there?
they put us into an RAF camp, and we only got rumours that we were down there to take the troops across to what was the battle? On the French coast.
Yeah.
Canadians were mostly favored.
Dieppe,
that's right, yeah. You're better memory than I have. We were supposed to go, but they brought some information got to the Germans that what was going to happen. So they brought the raid forward by a week so they couldn't use us. So we stayed there for 4 or 5 weeks. then they took us back out. Then we went up to Inverary.
What were you doing there?
We were taken to Greenock by train and transferred onto a ship, which we weren't told anything, but we thought we were going abroad from there. But we got on this ship and went up Loch Fyne and got to Inverary, which we docked and then unloaded in a camp in Inverary. And minor landing craft, a small landing craft.
And what were you doing with them? Training on small. Are these the assault landing craft or?
There was LCAs, LCMs, LCPs, various types. And the Yankee Rangers. We used to go out on manoeuvres with them, take them across the other side of the lock, land them, and then they used to play soldiers, war games and so on, you know. And
how did you find these various types of landing craft, the smaller ones?
Very small. Compared with a tank landing craft, they were smaller. LCMs was about the biggest of the minor landing craft, and they would take three or four lorries and a more crew, stokers, seamen. LCPs, that's when I finished up with, which...
And what does that stand for? What does the M stand for?
Landing Craft Personnel. And that would take about a dozen, or maybe more, 15 perhaps to 20 men and their kits, ammunition, rifles. Then
and what crew would it have? Just two of you or just one of you?
Three. It'd be a coxswain, which I was, then a seaman and a stoker.
What was your duty as a coxswain? Could you just explain what it was?
Take the landing craft and take it from A to B.
What were they like to steer? What?
a gear lever, forward and reverse, or astern. The accelerator of the engine. Starting butter, set the engine going, and that was more or less the job.
So you were just practicing landing these Rangers,
yeah,
getting familiar with the controls, learning the job as coxswain,
right. Yeah.
And practicing on LCMs and mainly LCPs at the end, or
LCPs, LCMs. LCAs, that was assault landing craft, which were armour plated. The others, LCPs, they were plywood, a good engine, ultramarine engine.
Now, anything you remember about these exercises? Any incidents during?
We used to take the Americans out during the night. Then when we come back, we'd have our breakfast, and then get our heads down for a few hours, and then it was our time was free, so we used to, a bunch of us, used to go up the, it was all mountains out there with our less hammock lashings, as like lassos, lasso and wild sheep. That was about the only way you could keep yourself amused, you know. And then,
now how long were you at
Inverary?
Inverary.
Also about 2 or 3 months. Then we got drafted from there to Lowestoft. In a camp there. I was on the Alton Broads. Not that we had any landing craft on the Broads, but we were killing time, I think, really. Then from there, we went down to just outside Plymouth in a camp in a village, very small place, and we was in concrete huts which what was previously occupied by Royal Marine Commandos, and we used to have to go out on down into near, right near the village, a river, and we used to have to cross the river by various means, on high wires, swinging across on a rope, and getting really fit, going out on a 20 mile run down into Plymouth Barracks, where we used to have to be able to swim. They used to make us jump in the pool and swim, just strip off, no costumes or anything like that. It was just bare bodies, and we had to swim. And if you couldn't swim, there was 2 or 3 chaps couldn't swim. They had to pull them out, and us that could swim. We were all backwards and forwards and doing what we were told. Then back to the village. And one incident there was me and my oppo, we put in for a shore leave. So on the Saturday afternoon, we caught a train from Bickley. That's the Bickley.
Bickley?
Bickley, that was the little village. We trained into Plymouth, and then we got a train to, what's the seaside resort down there?
Doesn't matter, Weymouth or whatever.
No, it was Torquay. Went into Torquay, and we met a couple of young girls there, and they were employed in the hotel, one of the hotels. We went out, had a drink with them, and eventually missed the last train back to Plymouth. So we were in the drift, in trouble then. So eventually we got back and into Plymouth and went outside the station because there was a tea bar or something there, you know, for a cup of tea. And we were arrested by the naval police, being ashore or adrift. We were taken to the local train to take us back up to Beckley, locked in the carriage, and went up to Beckley, and there was an escort waiting there for us to take us up to the camp in front of the officer of the watch. What have you got to say for yourself and all that? But we missed the train, accidentally missed the train from Torquay to Plymouth, which we broke. The law was, or the rule was, that you could only go 25 miles, I think, perimeter. Away from your base, which we'd done more than that. So we were put in the captain's report, and next morning put in front of the captain, which was a elderly captain, and he was out of the Navy just to do what he was doing, in charge of a small camp. So he said, what have you got to say? Told him that we accidentally missed our train and we got back as soon as we could. And he said, no, did you enjoy yourselves? He said, yes, sir. And he asked the master at arms what we were like as ratings, and he said, well, this is the first time we've had any trouble with them. So he said, I'm going to let you off, or words to that effect, let you off and do you with a caution, never to do it again. And which we hastily agreed with. And that was the one incident down there that sticks in my mind, the fact that we went adrift.
Now, what was your next? From where did you go from Beckley then?
From Beckley we went down to Westcliff-on-Sea.
What were you doing there?
Phoned up a naval party to go at the Far East.
And did it have a number? Did they have a number, the
naval? Yeah, Naval Party 4121. And we got our kit, tropical kit.
Now, what was that?
Shirt, shorts, khaki. So you was more or less dressed as a soldier. But on one thing about that, during Westcliff, they withdrew quite a few naval personnel out of the Navy into the Army, ready for D-Day.
Anyone you knew?
No.
Did it worry you, the prospect that you might be transferred into the Army?
Well, I didn't want to go into the Army because my choice was the Navy. And whether that had any sway or not, I don't know. But anyway, there was about 18 to 20 of us in this naval party, with one officer, a lieutenant, two sub-lieutenants, and a petty officer, and then us lads. And we got grouped, got together there, and I had a bad time there.
Why?
With earache. I had, couldn't sleep at night. We were in boarding houses, and it was that was Westcliff, with the promenade, that all enclosed in the three or four streets, maybe more, and there were literally hundreds of us in there, and you'd have a bedrooms would split up, you'd have about four beds in each room, and all rooms in the house were served the same way. And I couldn't sleep one night, and I got earache, so I went to the sick bay and saw the surgeon, and he examined my ears, and he said, I think you should go to see a specialist, which was down there in one of the boarding houses. I mean, it was a hospital part. And they sent me back to resume duties, and I never slept for about 7 nights, was kept awake, ear pain in one ear, and then alternate in the other one, left and right,